Welcome back to Fans and the Pros, the 5 o'clock hour. Deuce and I will be here till 7 o'clock tonight. We've got Lance Moore coming up after the next break. We're also going to get into some more inside the lines there of the Cincinnati Bengals with Dave Lapham. I talked to you this week. Dave Lapham has been the color guy there for 32 years, I think. Still there, does a great job, former Bengal. We're going to get to check in with him. And Deuce, we talked a lot in the first hour about the Bengals and some of the numbers that stick out. Maybe the biggest one in this, they're last in the NFL on third down defensively. They're giving up 56% first downs on third. The Saints, you know, their third down number is not it's moving up. They're seventh now in the NFL on fourth down at 44%. But what the Saints have done better than anybody in the NFL this year is possess the football. They have the longest average drive in the NFL. They run the most plays, the most average yards, and they're scoring at the highest percentage of their drive. So they're really maintaining possession of the ball, driving the ball down the field. It's not good to be a bad third down team and play the Saints squad.
No, it's not. And what's interesting, when you look at the Saints team, you say that they can improve. We talk about how, yes, it's really good, but when you look at this team, I think there's a lot of room for improvement in a lot of different areas for them, and they feel like that there's room for improvement as well. So it's just interesting. Those are a lot of gaudy numbers that a lot of teams would love to have. And we know that, man, this team is playing well, but there's room for improvement for them.
Yeah, and you look at this last game, they played Tampa Bay coming off the bye week, but the week before they played Tampa, gave up 470 yards passing, 126 yards on the ground, and they won that game. And you sit there and you go, how is it possible to give up that type of yardage and win a football game?
Creating turnovers.
They also had four interceptions and sacked the quarterback six times.
Yeah, that was that James's four interception game?
Yes.
Yeah. When you're creating turnovers, you can give up a lot of yards because you're getting the ball back at some point.
Yep. Let's go to the phone lines. You can give us a call, 504-260-1870, or text us at 870-870. Let's go to Daryl out in Mid-City. Daryl, how you doing tonight?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing this evening?
Doing well. What do you got for us?
Well, here, before I say something about the Bengals and this being a trap game, I want to say something. I'm 62 years old, so I was 10 years old in 67 when the Saints came into being. The first radio broadcast team was a guy by the name of Al Wester, and his color commentator, if I remember right, was a guy named Maury McGill. Okay, so I've listened to Saints broadcasts since the very beginning. I want to let you guys know something. Y'all are doing a great job. Y'all are fantastic. Okay, I really, from day one, I've enjoyed listening to y'all. Y'all are a great team. Keyword there, Deuce, team. You got, and Zach, you guys are a team. Y'all better stick together, because I don't know if y'all make it apart. But I got to say that with you guys and all the years of Archie and Jim, I listen to all those. You guys are doing a fantastic job. I just wanted to let y'all know that. And I know a lot of fans that I've talked to have commented on how good you guys are and how easy y'all are to listen to.
That's very kind. Thank you, Daryl. We appreciate that.
Okay, and something else. You know, look, trap game, schmap game, who cares?
Yep.
I'm going to tell you something else I've never done in all the years I've watched the Saints. You know, you're always hopeful as a fan at the beginning of the year. You say, well, maybe this is the year we can do this, we can do that. You know, and you're always thinking, well, maybe we'll – this is the first season in my entire life. I sat there at the beginning of the football season, and I said, the Saints are the best team in the National Football League, and they are going to win the Super Bowl. I don't care who the Bengals have, what they don't have. You know, the Saints may drop another game. They may even drop another two games. But this team is a special team. I mean, don't you guys feel that? Because, look, and Dez Bryant is a blow. But like you're saying, Zach, he never really got on the field. So, I mean, it ain't like we're going to miss the guy because we never had him to miss him, you know, kind of deal. But this is a team that's just going to overcome that and just keep on rolling. Because I expect this team in February to be playing in the Super Bowl and to win the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, Daryl, listen, first of all, we appreciate the call. I think this team is special. I think the one thing this team does better than anything else, and it's the best thing that you can excel at, is this team finds ways to win games. They find all kinds of different ways to win games, and they've done that all year long. They've been excellent in the fourth quarter, but they've done it in different ways. The defense, when it's getting kind of pushed around in a game, they find a way to come up with a big stop. This past game against the Rams are moving the ball all over the place in the second half, and what are the last two drives? A three and out and a four and out. So, yeah, this team has something special to it. And if you're going to be special in one area, make it winning football games. And that's certainly what the Saints have going for them right now. We're going to take a break. When we return, we're going to bring in Lance Moore. We'll ask Lance for you guys. Lance, can you get in shape in the next 5 days? And I think he's going to tell you no, but we'll find out right out of his mouth. Give us a call, 504-260-1870, or text us at 870-870. You're listening to Fans and Pros here on WWL. Welcome back to Fans and the Pros here on WWL. Zach Streif alongside my partner, Deuce McAllister, talking Saints Bengals this week. I don't know. I mean, I'm excited to go home. I did get a text about three ways, four ways, and five ways. I'm a three-way guy. I like two cheese conies with everything. For those of you who don't know, you can look up Skyline. It's my favorite food in the whole world. I'm going to find a way to visit there while we're in Cincinnati.
That's the little place I was trying to get you to take me to, but you told me you had plans.
I invited you to my parents' house.
No,
said no.
Yeah, me and your mama and your dad, we can have dinner, but we ain't going to let you come.
Whatever I got to do to not have dinner with you, I'm all for. If you got to steal my parents for the night, I'll go with my sisters.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to do. But yeah, I wanted to go to the little chili spot, and you told me, nah, I got plans.
I'm going to bring you some little chili stuff. We're going to go to the phones. One of my all-time favorite teammates, Lance Moore. Lance, how are we doing tonight, buddy?
Man, are you guys talking about Skyline Chili right now?
We sure are. Lance, are you in Ohio currently?
No, man. I'm in sunny San Diego.
That's your cell phone number.
My cell phone number. Yeah. But look, man,
Skyline Chili is
a classic Cincinnati, I would say, and Ohio delicacy. Yep. But I would say there's probably a lot of other places that
Lance,
you could go to there.
So I'm doing my homework, Lance. I'm looking it up, and I say, you know, man, this Zach home. So I'm going to get Zach to show me the town, show me the city, let him take me to Skyline Chili. And I said, Zach, let's go grab some chili or go out to grab some meat. Nah, I got plans. He blew me off so fast. And then guess what he told me? Oh, well, I'm going to go by my parents' house, and they're going to cook, and you can come. I said, I don't want to go now. I don't want to go.
He turned my mama down, Lance. He said no to my mama.
Well, I think he said no to kind of like the sideways invite. Like, oh, I have plans.
That's not what it was.
You can come if you want.
Lance, man, it's great having you on. And obviously this Dez Bryant news is kind of taking over this a little bit, which is kind of weird when you think about it, because the Saints have been dominant offensively this year, and this is a guy that has been out of football. But the real discussion, and I'd love to get your thoughts on it, is the lack of production that has been behind Mike Thomas. Mike Thomas has been highly productive, fourth leading receiver in the NFL right now. Has been really tremendous. Broke the Saints' record for yards in a game last week, and yet you go behind him, and the next closest guy has 12 catches, and you know, that was what the signing was for. Where do you see maybe some improvement coming for this team on the back at the receiver position behind Mike Thomas?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the reason why, you know, the Saints were looking for somebody like a Dez Bryant, who I felt like would have been perfect for that role. Just another guy that's got a lot of experience making plays in this league, and at the point of his career that he's at, not having to be that lead dog, that number one receiver that gets all of the targets. It is funny, you know, the offense is kind of rolling and guys are making plays. But when you look at the receiver position, it's scary after Michael Thomas. If Mike goes down, what do we do? I mean, that's the thing that I look at. I mean, it was absolutely a depth signing. You know, you look at Traquan Smith and what he's been able to do. But as a young rookie guy who hasn't had to do much other than the down the field, take the top off the coverage type thing, is he ready to be that second guy that's doing more than just that, that's doing the route running, that's having to get in and out of his breaks, that's having to deal with these veteran DBs sit on his routes because they know he's not as comfortable running those routes. So, and then Cam Meredith, I mean, he's a guy that's dealt with a bunch of injuries, and it's like, how long do we wait for this guy? How long are we going to wait for him to get back to his old self before we move on and try to find another guy? And think about it. I mean, you guys know, if the Saints play the Patriots in the Super Bowl, who do you think they're going to try to stop in that offense? they're going to try to stop Michael Thomas. They'll put two guys on him, and they're going to try to stop Alvin Kamara, and they'll put two guys on him, and they'll say everybody else beat man-to-man matchups. And if you can't do it, you can't beat them. I mean, that's – you said Taysom?
Taysom, baby. Taysom Hill, baby.
You're right. You know, I love Sean's 2018 innovation and being able to broaden and expand his offensive genius and use a guy that is awesome at what he does. I mean, he is a valuable part of that offense. But you're not going to line him up at receiver and throw him hitches. You know what I mean? I mean, that's just not his role. So there needs to be somebody that either steps up, or if Dez happens to be out for the year with the Achilles, you might have to get another guy in there. I mean, whether that's a Brandon Marshall or Kamar Aiken or whoever it could be, I mean, somebody's going to have to step up and make plays, because I'm not saying that Mike can't do this the whole year, but teams are going to get smart, and they're going to make it a little bit more difficult for him and Drew.
Tell us a little bit of the difficulty of learning this offense, not from all three positions, but just one position, you know, as far as just being comfortable. How difficult is it for a receiver to come in and try to learn this offense?
Well, if you're a rookie that's coming in, first NFL offense in the offseason, you have 6 months to get it, I wouldn't say it's terribly hard. But if you're a guy that's coming in week 10, week 11 of the season, having been out of football for a long time, it's going to be pretty tough. But I think that the coaches are smart, and they'll do the best they can of kind of teaching on the fly, and kind of limiting what these guys would be able to do. I mean, as I read the other day, Dez wasn't even going to play this week, which is a smart thing, because there's a lot of stuff that goes into this offense that a guy would have to learn on the fly. So a smart guy can come in and learn this offense pretty easily if they put in the time and they study when they're away from the building. But all in all, I mean, there's so much that goes on, and it's even expanded even more since I've been there. I mean, all the time I go back and I see new plays, I'm like, dang, what was that? Why did we run that when I was there? And I felt like it was a lot when I was playing there. So it's tough, but they do a great job of coaching it up. And CJ, Coach CJ is probably the best in the business at teaching the receiver position in this offense and all the intricacies. I think he would be good for Dez Bryant or for Brandon Marshall or whoever they would bring in.
Now, Lance, I promised the fans, I got a lot of calls and texts about this before you came on when we said you were going to be on. How long is it going to take you to get into game shape, and what week can we expect your return to the Saints?
You know what? I just had a pretty good run in basketball this afternoon. We won five straight, and I felt like my old self again. And so I'm in pretty good shape, but you talk about football shape and getting tackled. No, thank you. I'm good, man. I don't think that I have any more tackles left in me. And whether that's on the football field or even if my kids want to jump me and tackle me one of these days, I'll be hurting.
Lance Moore, you can check him out at LanceMoore16 on Twitter. Lance, we appreciate you being here, man. I miss you. I hope I get to see you soon.
I miss you guys too, man, for sure.
All right, take it easy, buddy.
Thanks, Lance Moore.
Lance Moore, one of my all-time favorites, Deuce. He's one of my all-time favorites. So, as expected, I assumed that he would. Lance told me straight up, no, I'm not coming back and doing that. Lance got his own stuff going on. It's when you're done, especially 2-3 years done, like Lance is, you're done.
You're done.
You're done. Yeah, you've had enough, and you're ready to move on. That's just like someone told me, yeah, you want to go down there and just like be a backup? Absolutely. And I don't think I could do the stretch line right now.
You done too.
I'm done. Look who's talking, Deuce. No, we're definitely both done. We got lots more coming. We're going to check in with Dave Lapham, color commentator for – it's Deuce's counterpart with the Cincinnati Bengals when we come back. We're going to chat with him after this break. More from Fans and the Pros coming up here on WWL. Welcome back to Fans and Pros here on WWL. Little welcome to the jungle. For those of you who don't know, the Bengals Stadium is referred to as the jungle due to them being the Bengals. Paul Brown Stadium is the name of it, but it's the jungle. This has always been the kickoff song, at least it was when I was growing up in Cincinnati. And we're joined now by Dave Lapham, Bengals color commentator. And I got a chance to talk to Dave earlier this week, and I told him, I said, I don't want to age you too much, but when I was growing up going to Bengals games, I listened to Dave Lapham after the game every single week, the whole way home in the car. So a big fan of Dave Lapham. Thanks so much for joining us, man.
Zach, my pleasure. Deuce, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, Dave. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks, guys.
Dave, you know, we're sitting here kind of breaking down Cincinnati, and you know, the thing that really sticks out, and I'm sure that you guys have talked about it all year long, is the struggles defensively that they've had. Last in the NFL, giving up the receiving yards, last on third down, two numbers that you really don't want to be at. But they're also taking the ball away at a pretty good click. What's happening with this defense? Is this a bend-don't-break defense that's getting turnovers, or is this a defense that's really, truly struggled?
I think it's really, truly struggled, but it has been saved by takeaways. You know, it's, you know, when you look at it, when you have two Pro Bowl pass rushers, Carlos Dunlap, Geno Atkins, and you have two number one draft picks, former number one draft picks at the cornerback position, and another one that is your nickel corner. Unfortunately, he's out with a dislocated clavicle, Darquez Dennard. But, you know, you get Kirkpatrick, you get William Jackson. That's the beginnings. That's the makings of a start of a good defense in today's NFL, the way everybody throws the football. But their linebacker position has been brutally bad, and they've got injuries there. You know, their best defensive player, Vontaze Burfict, when healthy, won't be playing. Their best offensive player, A.J. Green, isn't going to be playing as well. But back to the defense, Nick Vigil is their best nickel linebacker. He's been out for a while with a bad MCL. It's taken a little bit longer than they thought to come back from that. So the two nickel linebackers, one healthy, Vontaze Burfict and Nick Vigil, aren't in the football game. Preston Brown has been dealing with a high ankle sprain since week one, basically. He's struggling to run a little bit. So they've been targeted at that linebacker position. And I know the coaching staff has to be scared to death of Kamara, you know, getting matchups on the linebackers that they're going to have real difficulties with. But defensively, they just don't seem in sync. They don't seem a coordinated group. They've been saved by four defensive touchdowns. They're tied for most in the NFL. No return touchdowns, nothing with punt return, kickoff return, all defensive scores. You know, forced fumble, pick it up and score, pick sixes, you know, that kind of thing has saved them defensively a little bit. It's been important in all their wins. They've won close football games, and those defensive scores, I mean, their defense is responsible for, you know, over 12.5% of their points scored on the season. So they have really helped in that area. But almost every other area that you talk about, Zach, with third down and yards allowed, it's been a sieve, no question.
When you look at the offense and particularly how they've played in the first half, or at least when they come out for a game, their first 15 or first 18 plays in general have been really, really good. But when you know, you talk about, okay, we're seeing a team for a third time or fourth time or even a second half, they hadn't been able to follow up. Do you think that they've maybe got some of that figured out now after the bye week, or you're just going to wait and see how they try to approach it just because you know that they're going to not have A.J. Green?
You know, you hit on a good point, Deuce. So they've come out and played well on first drives. And, you know, other than the Kansas City game, they went out to Kansas City and laid an egg offensively. They had a 1-2-3 and out. They win the coin toss, or Kansas City wins the coin toss and defers. They get the football. And, you know, that's a deal like it's going to be in this game with New Orleans. You feel pressure. You have to do something with every possession. And they go 1-2-3 and out, punt it away. Kansas City scores. Now you're chasing. And you end up chasing badly. And they lose 45-10. They only put 10 points on the board offensively. And even in the last win against Tampa, you know, which they did score, you know, they scored points. There's no question about that. But they had, man, the third quarter, they only ran six plays for 8 yards. They had 2 3-and-outs. They had a pick six, which took a possession away. So they had 2 possessions in the third quarter, 3-and-out. The first 2 possessions of the fourth quarter were 3-and-out. And they still scored 37 points and win the football game. So, you know, they did have a defensive touchdown, but they still scored, you know, 30 points offensively with those lulls. You know, it's not a lull, it's a hibernation. I mean, they went to sleep for a quarter and a half, the whole third quarter and half the fourth quarter. And, you know, a big lead, a 21-point lead at one time, and 2 18-point leads in the second half melted away because of it. So they've been extremely inconsistent offensively. When they've been good, they've been very good. But when they've been bad, I mean, it's been really bad. I mean, 3-and-outs. And that's why, you know, you have a defense that's struggling. The one thing you want to do is stay on the football field. And, you know, in their time of possession, you know, they're 31st in the league time of possession-wise. And the flip side, New Orleans, as you guys know, I mean, they're great with time of possession. The Bengals are just absolutely struggling in that area. They've only had the ball 27 minutes and 43 seconds per game. And you look at, you know, New Orleans is well over 31 minutes a game. So that's a big deal.
Dave, I got about 30 seconds here. What do the Bengals have to do to beat the Saints?
Hold for some help. The Saints have to self-destruct. You know, if the Saints bring their A game and the Bengals bring their A game, they don't win the football game. But if the Bengals bring their A game and the Saints bring the B game, I think they've got a chance. But I think two things, you know, with Drew Brees and teams haven't been able to do it, push the pocket, you know, get pressure in his face, you know, limit his space so he can't see the field so well and put the ball in the spots he's put it. And then if he does complete the football, tackle. And in Kansas City, they missed 18 tackles. And, you know, plays turned into huge plays because of yards after catch. Can't happen against New Orleans. It'll crush you.
Dave, thanks so much for being with us. Looking forward to meeting you this week. This is the Fans and the Pros here on WWL. Welcome back to Fans and the Pros. Zach Strieve here alongside Deuce McAllister. Give us a call. Let us know what you're thinking about this game this week, Saints, Bengals, or we're going to get in at the 6 o'clock hour to LSU in Alabama and also LSU moving forward, taking on Arkansas this week. Give us a call, 504-260-1870. Text us at 870-870. We're going to go to the phones and Mitch in Houston. Mitch, how you doing tonight?
Doing well. Zach, how are you, sir?
Doing well. What do you got for us?
Hey, real quick. Tough break with Dez, and it's really disappointing because the kid obviously came in humbled and said all the right things. It's unfortunate because I think he wasn't a great fit. Having said that, I am not a fan of bringing in Brandon Marshall. I know he's a seasoned vet, but he's, what, 34, 35? I really like the idea of bringing in Kirkwood from the practice squad. He's got 2 years in the system. He's made big plays before. And also, why are we not targeting Austin Carr? Is he not getting separation? Everything that I've seen that he's had a pass thrown to him, he's caught everything. So for me, that's a bit of a head scratch. And he's an ideal person for the slot. So help me make sense of that. Thank you.
Thanks, Mitch. So first of all, Keith Kirkwood is a rookie. Out of Temple. So he has not made big plays before. I think bringing Kirkwood up is not only a good idea, but I think it's probably likely.
Very likely. I mean, because even if Dez, if he doesn't get hurt, it would have been probably 50-50 of them feeling comfortable on a game plan. You'd only practice for 2 days. And look, I understand Eli Apple did it as well, which would have been a comparison for somebody stepping in and playing right away. But I think they were probably going to be shooting for another week of him actually playing. So, you know, yes, I do believe Keith Kirkwood will get the call just because you're going to be down in numbers as far as receivers are concerned with Meredith going on IR. But here's the other thing. We know that Tommy Lee is available to come off of injured reserve. And so whether the Saints bring him off, whether they feel he's healthy enough, we'll wait and see. But he's probably, what, a week or two at most?
Yeah, I think they'll give him a week or two just to get his legs back underneath him.
Yeah, because this is the second week that he's practiced.
Yeah.
So you could practice 2 weeks, and then they have to make a decision. So at worst, you think Tommy Lee will be back for the Atlanta game, and you're probably about a month away from Ted Ginn Jr. being able to come back as well. So if the Saints can – Maybe it's Kirkwood. Maybe it's Austin Carr being able to give them that bump that they need with Traquan as far as the opposite receiver of Michael Thomas, and they do get some explosion and production out of that slot. I know some people may not like Brandon Marshall and some other receivers that they may work out and bring in. They're going to give their guys an opportunity first, but you have to understand, they see those guys every day. And they're going to be the one that make that decision of whether we need to go in a different direction.
Yep, and obviously I would love to see Austin Carr start thriving. He's my Northwestern Wildcat alum buddy, and I would love to see him. But he just hasn't taken off yet. He's only got 8 targets on the season. And, you know, they got to find production somewhere. They got to find somebody that can provide that. Interesting talking to Dave Lapham, too. He sounds like there's no chance in the world. I know what that feels like. I used to be a Bengals fan. Sometimes you just don't feel that way. They are coming off a bye. Unfortunately, Marvin Lewis, the lowest winning percentage of any coach in the NFL with less than 5 games coming off of a bye. You're listening to Fans and Pros here on WWL. Welcome back to Fans and the Pros. I'm Zach Streif, joined by Deuce McAllister. And WWL is your high school football playoff headquarters on Friday nights. Join studio host Seth Dunlap from 7 to 10:30 for the WWL All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. Alan Waddell will be on site live covering Hanville at Walker. Can Andrew Robinson lead Hanville to an upset victory in the opening round of the playoffs? Plus, reporters at other big games, including Holy Cross at St. Augustine, Dutchtown at John Arrett, and Northlake Christian at Newman. And don't forget our WWL Game of the Week on WWL 105.3 FM, HD Channel 2, Brother Martin versus Scotlandville in the Division I playoffs. Live play-by-play of that game with Brad Lumine, Tommy Bosch, and Joey Brewitt on the call. Don't miss our comprehensive high school football coverage on the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup tonight from 7 to 10:30 on WWL. When we come back at the 6 o'clock hour, me and Deuce are going to start getting into college football a little bit. The LSU Tigers' disappointing performance against the Alabama Crimson Tide and the exciting game that Tulane put on the field last week against USF. Tremendous performance against them on the road.
No doubt. I'm going to give a shout-out to my homeboy, Herschel Walker, too. You know Herschel in town?
I didn't know that. Why isn't he in here? That's your boy. I want to meet Herschel Walker.
He had to work.
But work? What's Herschel Walker doing?
Working a conference. Herschel still say he do, 1,000 sit-ups or 1,000 push-ups every morning, and he fight the MMA stuff. So it's a conference about youth football and youth athletics that's in town, and he's here for that conference.
Man, you ruined my night. We could have Herschel Walker sitting right there in that chair. You know, text Deuce 87870 if you wish Herschel Walker was sitting here in studio with us right now.
He's real shy.
He's shy? Could you open him up? No?
No.
We're going to talk about all that stuff. We're going to talk about what Coach O said after the LSU game, something that I don't know that I completely agree with. And we're going to talk a little bit about Tulane and how the quarterback change has made a big difference in that offense, what they've been doing, exciting stuff over there in Tulane. We're not going to leave him tonight. We got a couple texts asking if we were going to talk about the Green Wave. We're going to talk about the Green Wave.
3 p.m. tomorrow at home. That's East right. Carolina.
That's right. We got two wins
away from bowl eligible.
Absolutely. We're going to be joined by Bruce Feldman. Also talk about college football more when we return here on Fans and the Pros on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us, and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.